As the global financial crisis took its toll on all parts of the U.S. economy, many American newspapers found themselves on the brink of economic disaster. Some longtime journals have died, such as Denver's Rocky Mountain News. Others, like the Christian Science Monitor and Seattle Post-Intelligencer, have ended print publication and moved to online editions. The Tribune Company, owner of the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times, along with the publishers of the Philadelphia Inquirer and the New Haven Register, have declared bankruptcy. The Detroit News and Detroit Free Press have cut back home delivery from 7 to 3 days a week, while the Boston Globe and the New York Times are in financial distress. The media reform group Free Press recently released a report on the newspaper crisis titled Saving the News Toward a National Journalism Strategy. The study analyzes the economic and technological changes contributing to the decline of the traditional newspaper business model and proposes strategies to ensure the survival of local journalism. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Josh Stearns, program manager with Free Press, who co-authored the report. He summarizes Saving the News and its recommendations for changes in ownership structure, tax incentives, journalistic training, and investments in experimental models and public media.
There's really a sort of a perfect storm happening in the newspaper industry. A combination of things are coming together right now to put newspapers up against the ropes. So we're seeing a combination of things. We're seeing a growth of readership moving to the internet. We're seeing more and more people than ever reading the news now. The news is more popular than it has ever been, and people are seeking it out more than ever before, but they're seeking it out online. And so as eyeballs move from the printed page to the web page, we're seeing advertisers move online as well, and that's being complicated by the fact that many advertisers had already moved online to after things like Craigslist and other outlets where they could, you know, more cheaply or free post classified ads online. And as other advertisements moved online, it just hasn't made up the same revenue mix for newspapers. So we're seeing that happen, as well as this economic crisis that we're all facing has impacted newspapers' bottom line as well. So we're seeing a number of things kind of coming together at once. It's being compounded by the fact that newspapers have for a really long time not adapted well to their new digital era and have made a lot of decisions, including consolidation. The Tribune Company is a great example of that, buying up media properties all over the country and putting themselves in great debt to do so, so that now, even when papers at many of these companies are still profitable, they're not being able to increase profits the way that Wall Street would want them to, and they're really struggling to sort of meet their bottom line and pay off their debts that they've incurred.
So your report, titled Saving the News Toward a National Journalism Strategy, takes into account a whole lot of new ideas in terms of ownership models, tax incentives, training in journalism, and new models for public and community media. Maybe you could summarize the highlights of that report and what you think our listeners really need to know as they think about maybe their role as a citizen and what happens next with newspapers, with digital publications, and really getting essential news out, which is the backbone of democracy.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that's really important to know is that this isn't a new discussion. A number of people, a number of organizations and foundations have been debating the future of news for quite some time now, but the piece that has been missing is a real in-depth discussion of what public policy might do to help save the news. And that's where we come in and what we bring to this discussion. So we're really interested in looking at a national journalism strategy which would involve public policy in putting journalists back to work and fostering a new news ecosystem that gets communities the information they need. A lot of people are really worried about government getting involved in journalism because of First Amendment questions and other concerns about how we're spending money right now in terms of the economic crisis. But I think it's important to know that there's a lot of models and a lot of policy options out there that we can implement that would definitely protect the First Amendment, that would produce quality coverage, that would provide adversarial perspectives and promote public accountability, that would hold our leaders, corporate and government leaders, accountable. In addition, though, we also have to prioritize innovation. I think that's a really important point. It's, as we look through these stories of newspapers folding, of more than 20,000 journalists losing their job in the last year and a half, what we hear a lot of is the doom and gloom of the newspaper industry. But right now, we're also at an incredible moment of rebirth, where we're seeing exciting new projects and initiatives being launched by working journalists, by entrepreneurial foundations, by nonprofit organizations, and others who are trying to find new ways of telling stories and getting communities the information they need. And we need to support that innovation, in part, we think, by investing in a sort of R&D fund for journalistic innovation. So we think that the same way that our government invests in medical research to heal the ails of the body, we should be investing in research and experimentation in journalism to heal the ails of the democracy. And we think that's a vital piece of one thing our government can do without impinging on any First Amendment rights, but can really sort of foster this new transition into a digital age. You mentioned new public media, new forms of public media. One of the things that we've seen is that NPR has invested deeply in the production of news, and their listenership has skyrocketed over the past 5 years. What we would like to see is all forms of non-commercial media get a booster shot in terms of federal funding and support so that non-commercial media can really begin to fill in the gap where our commercial media has failed us. That's 2 out of 5 of the things that we recommend in our report that I think are really important.
There's a vast class and racial and generational divide when it comes to who has access to digital media and digital news and information and commentary. What should the FCC, the government, and the corporate world be doing to provide what we hope to be near universal access so people can be consumers of this new digital media?
Well, we're seeing some really exciting first steps. President Obama made this a part of his platform from the early parts of his campaign, and in the stimulus bill that was passed, there was $7.2 billion for broadband deployment. So the administration is already moving forward with plans to begin to connect people who are underserved or unserved, which is a great first step. But even they admit that this first investment is just the beginning. So they've asked the Federal Communications Commission to create a national broadband strategy to be presented to Congress early next year. And the FCC is seeking comment on that right now so people can weigh in to tell the FCC what that national broadband strategy should look like. And one of the things we want to do is to make sure that people's voice is heard as part of that discussion. So people can go to www.freepress.net to join that discussion. We'll be having resources there within the next couple weeks to help people make their voice heard.
That was Josh Stearns, program manager with Free Press and co-author of the report, Saving the News, Toward a National Journalism Strategy. Contact Free Press by calling area code 202-265-1490 or visit their website at freepress.net, where you can download a copy of the report.